Welcome, friends. We are thinking in this unit about how celibacy is tied to understanding the story of Jesus, how celibacy and singleness put on display Jesus' love for His church. That just as the single Jesus was wholeheartedly devoted to His mission from God, His commitment to the people of God, to the family of God, to His bride, so in celibacy, so in singleness, there is this call to be devoted to the kingdom of God, to recognize that part of what it means to in part be free from the responsibility of a spouse or children is this ability to be fully responsible for devotion to the kingdom of God. And we saw in the last video about how marriage and celibacy mutually interpret each other, and how when we see both married and celibate Christians working together for the sake of the kingdom, it helps to enhance our vision of who Jesus is and what it really means for us to give ourselves, to enter into that spousal meaning of the body, to serve and love as Jesus serves and loves us. In this last video for this unit, I want to think just a little bit about celibacy and the life to come, the resurrection life. And Jesus speaks to this in Matthew 22. In this passage, Matthew 22, verse 23 through 33, some people came to him, some Sadducees. These were religious, or they were leaders of the people of Israel, who actually did not believe in the resurrection. And so they posed a question to Jesus about, you know, a woman who is married to seven different men. Each of them keep dying. And so she marries the next brother in line. This is what's called Levirate marriage that's talked about in the Old Testament law. And they raise this question at the resurrection. They ask in Matthew 22:28, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since all of them were married to her? And Jesus says, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, what's interesting here is that Jesus says, in the life to come, there will be no marriage. That there's a sense in which marriage is something that God ordains in creation, something that He renews in redemption, but that if we look ahead to the life of the resurrection, He says people won't be married in the way that they are in this earthly life. And so what's interesting about that is that I think to see that single celibate people are actually a foreshadowing of the resurrection life. excuse me, there's a sense in which if we understand even the life and ministry and mission of Jesus, part of what He's doing is pointing ahead to this resurrection life, to this time when people won't marry or be given in marriage, as He says, anymore. Well, why is this? Well, partly because what happens here in the resurrection is that the covenant sign, marriage, including sexual union, the covenant sign will give way to the divine reality. That part of what marriage is meant to point to is this reality of Jesus' love for us, this reality actually of this life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect and holy communion. And in the communion and connection of saints that we as believers in Jesus have with one another. So that marriage is meant to be, in that sense, a foreshadow, a sign that points to reality, the reality itself. And so this is where we have to be careful here, because it can be hard for us through our lenses to think of something higher than marriage. We often think about marriage as this sort of the height of communion with another person, or we think of sexual union as the height of connection with another person. But what Scripture teaches us is that marriage and sexual union are this sign that points to a deeper reality. And so we have to be careful that we are not valuing the sign more than the reality to which it points. And so when we think about our expectation or our hope for the life to come, it can maybe seem to us as though something is being taken away. If we think about marriage as the sign that is removed. So But Scripture teaches us, I think, not to look at it that way, not to see it as something being taken away, but in fact to recognize that what's happening is that we're actually entering into the fullness of communion, the fullness of intimacy, the fullness of connection and fellowship, both with God and with one another. And so in light of that, it's important, I think, then to see single celibate people as giving us a sign of where we're going. That just as Jesus was single and pointed to God's kingdom and pointed to the reality of the resurrection life to come, so single people do the same thing in their life. And they embody this hope that we have for the future. And that even in the present life, part of what they're doing is already entering into this sense that what's most central here is the communion with God, communion with one another. That it's not merely marriage that is the avenue for that, but even as a single person, you can fully enter into that life and that reality. So it's important as we think about who we are as married people, as single people, both are called to, in our lives, let the story of Jesus shine through. That the gospel story of God's love for us is made evident as we give ourselves, whether that's in marriage to giving to our spouse, or whether that's in singleness to giving and serving and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Both of those are two different ways that we can embody the gospel, that we can make the gospel real, that we can make the gospel come alive to people around us. And I can guarantee you that if we embrace that, if we embrace marriages that look that way, if we embrace singleness that looks that way, people are going to notice. People are going to notice something different. And if you think back all the way to one of the earlier units where we talked about the biblical story, God's intention is to draw people to Himself through the life of His people, through the distinctiveness, through the way that His people operate in new and different ways that are connected with God, connected with each other, connected even with how we care for creation. And so as we think about marriage and singleness, these are things that are not just ends in themselves, but they're ways that we embody the truth of who God is. And as we do that, we will call others to Jesus, to follow Him as well. So until next time, blessings.